Good morning, and welcome to the Cyber Smart Morning News Update. With the always evolving world of cyber threats and defense, you need a source you can trust. FBI retired Special Agent Darren Mott guides you through today's intricate cyber landscape and brings you the latest headlines and insights and what it means to you. Let's dive into today's cyber news.
Hello, friends. It is Wednesday, September 6, 2023. Thank you for tuning in to the Cyber Smart Morning News Update. I am obviously your host, retired FBI Supervisory Special Agent Darren Mott, and also host of the Cyber Guy podcast. As always, this is going to be a quick look at some cyber news headlines that I found that I thought were interesting that I could talk about. Is it every cyber news headline overnight? No, no way I can do that in the short amount of time I'm promising here, because we are here for a good time, not a long time. I do have six articles. Some of them are just making the point that we should do these common things, yet probably we aren't. But like I like to say with this podcast, it's a little bit of cyber news and a lot of education and opinion. So take that for what it's worth. I thank those who continue to download and listen. I did notice on LinkedIn, I'm posting, Podbean is my distributing platform, and I'm posting a link that makes it hard to listen to on LinkedIn. So I'm hopefully going to fix that today. I might put this on YouTube so you can, I mean, it's, you know, just going to listen to it. There's going to be no video currently. Another quick news update. I will be on Newsmax tomorrow at 9:45 Eastern talking about the cybersecurity tip of the week. So if you're a Newsmax listener, or if you're not a listener or watcher, rather, feel free to log in and take a look at that. And they usually give me about 20 seconds to talk about stuff. So it is what it is. So let's get to the news. So my first article, and as always, these articles are referenced in the show notes. So you can go back and you can read the whole article. If you're not going to read the whole thing, just going to make some points on them. This is from theregister.com. Are you patched yet? A year's old Microsoft security holes are still hot targets for cyber crooks. This is from Jessica Lyons Hardcastle at the Register. She writes, it's generally accepted that security flaws in Microsoft products are a top magnet for crooks and fraudsters. Mm-hmm, they sure are. Its sprawling empire of hardware and software is a target-rich ecosystem in that there is a wide range of bugs to exploit and a huge number of vulnerable organizations and users. So yesterday, Qualys came out and said 15 of the 20 most exploited software vulnerabilities it has observed are in Microsoft code. And some of these are older flaws. Every time a Microsoft flaw is determined, Microsoft will send out patches on Patch Tuesday or special patch days so that if you are a Windows or a Microsoft user, doesn't necessarily have to be Windows, just Windows, I mean, it's just Microsoft products, then you can download the patch and fix the vulnerability, because bad guys exploit the vulnerability to get into your systems. Because remember, or maybe not remember, but for the first time I've said this on this podcast, risk equals threat times vulnerability. Threats are the cyber threat actors, or bad actors, as I like to say. Vulnerabilities are those holes that they use to exploit to get into systems and steal information. So this is just a point to make that you need to patch your software regularly. Now, if you're a small, medium-sized company, that is hard because you may not have the personnel to be on top of all of these vulnerabilities, because there's tons of them that come out every day. I highly recommend you subscribe to CISA's CVE site, where they list out all the common vulnerabilities and exploitations so you can see what's out there and what needs to be fixed. The more cyber intelligence you can get for your company, the safer you are going to be. Next article is from Bleeping Computer, title by Lawrence Abrams. Coffee meets bagel, says recent outage caused by destructive cyber attack. So I saw this and I'm like, what is Coffee Meets Bagel? Well, Coffee Meets Bagel is a dating platform, and it confirmed that last week they had an outage that was caused by hackers breaching the company system and deleting company data. The data platform says they are geared towards users looking for serious relationships rather than casual dating. Last week, Coffee Meets Bagel suffered a worldwide outage, with users upset that they could not coordinate planned dates or continue communicating with their matches. Well, that is a bummer. But today, this is reporting today, September 5th, CMB, Coffee Meets Bagel, confirmed that the outages were caused by their systems being breached and a hacker deleting company data, causing the production servers to no longer operate correctly. Here's the problem with this. This is what they're saying happened. My guess is that that information was not just deleted. It was taken by the hacker, who will ultimately expose it to the world. So if you are a Coffee Meets Bagel user and legitimately using it, no problem. If you are using it to do other things that maybe you shouldn't, because you're married and shouldn't be on a dating platform, that's going to be problematic, similar to the Ashley Madison breach from several years ago. So I say all this to make the point. If you are a Coffee Meets Bagel user, you're going to want to take precautions to protect your identity, because information has probably not been deleted, but probably been stolen. So just, you know, well, although it does say, though, because of the outage, Coffee Meets Bagel provided 100 or 1,000 free beans to subscribers. I have no idea what that is, but I'm sure it has something to do with being able to send text messages. I don't know, whatever. Anyway, just a bit, the point being, obviously, everybody's a target. Be careful about what data you have on websites, because the more data you have out there, the more likely it is going to be compromised. And here we are, because you have all of these companies like this that show up and they do great stuff. I mean, I'm sure it's a very legitimate and well-meaning service, but obviously they did not take security into account when they were doing what they were supposed to do, and they got hacked. So you'll find, again, a link to this if you want to read more about the article from Bleeping Computer. Also from Bleeping Computer, CryptoCasinoStake.com loses $41 million to hot wallet hackers. So a hot wallet is essentially you have a wallet of cryptocurrency that you maintain on a company's website, as opposed to a cold wallet where you download your addresses, the crypto addresses, or the blockchain addresses, and you store them on a separate device that hackers can't get to because they don't have access to the device. But this is Bill Tolis reporting. Online cryptocurrency casino Stake.com announced that it's Ethereum and BSC. I'm not sure what cryptocurrency that is, but those hot wallets has been compromised to perform unauthorized transactions with over $40 million in crypto reportedly stolen. Now, here's an odd sentence in this article. If the information was stolen, it says the platform immediately reassured users that their funds were safe and all other wallets not directly impacted. And all other wallets not directly impacted by the attack, including those holding Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ripple, EOS, and whatever TRX is, remained fully operational. So if you had hot wallets that had Ethereum and whatever BCS is, if I was really prepared for this podcast, I would have looked that up beforehand, but I didn't. Sorry, you can certainly do that. But those wallets have been compromised and that money is gone. So my point being here, this is a good exercise to understand that when you're using cryptocurrency, even though the transaction itself is secure, it's not to say that that information is not compromisable, because bad guys get into the wallets because of poor security, either on your end as the user, because you have a bad password, you don't use multi-factor authentication, pick your problem, and they can get in and they can basically then, as they are you as the user, transfer that information somewhere else. So I say all this to make the point that if you are a frequent user of crypto online, nothing wrong with it. Just be aware how you store it. Like if you have a Coinbase account, don't keep your data on Coinbase. Take it off, put it onto cold storage, into a USB or other device, and it will be much safer. If you want more information on this article, it's in the show notes, bleepingcomputer.com. All right, this is an interesting article from Security Magazine, scmagazine.com. And it's what businesses need to know to comply with the SEC's new cyber disclosure rules. I make this point because compliance and disclosure is going to be a big topic, especially around publicly traded companies for the next several months as several new requirements come into play if you're a publicly owned company. One of the big ones, I don't know if it's mentioned in this article, but has to do with you have to have someone on your board that is a cyber expert, whatever that looks like. But reading from this, Derek Johnson reporting, new rules for publicly traded companies went into effect September 5th. With the Securities and Exchange Commission requiring businesses to begin regular reporting on their cybersecurity risk management strategies, board-level cybersecurity governance and oversight, and of course, reporting rules for material cyber breaches. While the incident reporting portion won't go into effect right away, they go live in December for larger public companies and 100 days after that for smaller businesses. Businesses are already scrambling to parse out how the new rules may affect their approach to cybersecurity. There are exceptions for national security reasons, but most businesses should expect to file a notice to the SEC within 4 days of determining that a hack or a security incident is material in nature. So if you're a publicly traded company, you have a lot of new rules you got to maintain. I highly recommend you find someone who can help you understand it and put you in the right governance framework to not run afoul of these particular requirements. You are going to see a lot of likely lawsuits and incidents around all of these regulations as they come forward. A lot more information in this article. Not going to read it all because it would take a whole lot of time. But again, you can find that. It's at scmagazine.com and the link is in the show notes. Do you like QR codes? Who doesn't like QR codes? They're everywhere. They help us do a whole lot of different things. Well, from csoonline.com, this article by Bob Violino, How Attackers Exploit QR Codes and How to Mitigate the Risk. Big shocker, QR codes are being used for bad things. Bad guys always take technology, figure out how to exploit it, and do bad things with it. So from this article, attackers are taking advantage of the increased use of QR codes to steal sensitive information or conduct phishing campaigns. Here's what security teams and employees need to know. So you can read the article. I'm not going to read the whole thing here, but essentially what it means is you have to understand that not every QR code is doing a good thing. So don't just randomly, you know, don't just randomly put your phone at a QR code. Do some research before you do that, because obviously if I'm a bad guy and I know someone sees a QR code, they're going to click on it. It can do all sorts of stuff. It could take you to a site that says, hey, in order to go further, you have to log into your Microsoft account. Please log that in here. And it steals that information. If I'm a bad guy, I'm putting QR codes all over town, because people, especially younger folks, are going to want to see what that QR code does. So just be aware, bad guys are exploiting QR codes to steal your personal information. And lastly, from abcnews.com, United Airlines resumes flights following nationwide ground stop. This happened because of a software update that caused a widespread slowdown in its systems. This seems to be a recurring problem within the airline industry, that they are having all sorts of computer glitches. Now, are they computer glitches or are they something more nefarious? Hard to say, but this one says that United said that a software update caused a widespread slowdown in United's technology systems. Here's the issue with the airline's computer systems. They are outdated. They are probably out. They are probably not patched correctly. And obviously this was a problem because they did a software update, screwed up their system. So there's certainly issues there. So if you are a traveler, and I'm traveling on September 15th, I honestly am not looking forward to flying simply because of things like this. But it did say an hour after the problem, the issue was resolved, but it did delay 211 flights nationwide. So how much loss is that? Well, think about how many people were on those flights? What is their cost per hour to do whatever work they do? A lot of loss there. Never going to be calculated. Certainly a problem. But we're going to see more of this, especially as bad guys realize that airlines have vulnerable systems and they're going to exploit them, especially with ransomware. And mark my words, we're going to see more of this in the airline industry. Well, I'm at 12 minutes. I'm trying to keep this under 10. I am not succeeding, but hopefully I will get better as I go along. There are a lot of other news programs that have a cyber focus that you could be listening to. I appreciate you taking the time to listen to this one. If you like it, have thoughts or comments, send me a comment on LinkedIn. You can find me there. It's not too hard, Darren Mott, or you can email me, Darren@thecyberguy.com. And thank you for listening. Know that knowledge is protection. If we can understand threats targeting us, we can assess our risk, proceed wisely. Have a great Wednesday. We will talk again tomorrow.
CyberSmart Morning News is written and produced by CyberGuy Productions. Feel free to email thoughts, comments, or suggestions to Darren@thecyberguy.com or follow Darren on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/in/DarrettMott. Thanks for listening.